There's a lot of complexities in the PSA doubling time calculation.
Correct.
We are also grappling that, but there's a recent study by, I think the author is Savat, that calculated PSA doubling times in a variety of ways, all of them statistically valid, taking the first and last PSA, doing linear regression, and there's a couple other ways of doing it, and correlating it with disease progression, and it found it made dramatic difference how you did it. And interestingly, the most predictive way was just taking the first and last PSA that the patient had, which is actually the simplest. But I just wonder if you, I mean, this is potentially a real minefield. We're increasingly relying on PSA doubling time. People do it differently. There's no real consensus about this.
Yeah, and the way we did it is basically take every PSA value in the first 2 years and did linear regression. And that was something, actually, in the Palin study, they looked at 5-6 different ways of calculating it. And this is what they had concluded in that series was the best. I think where you get a lot of times the fluctuating PSAs that depends if you're taking the first or last or all of them that can affect it are the men generally with longer doubling times. And the man with a short doubling time, he's not going to go 0.2 to 0.18 to point. He's going to go 0.2 to 0.18. 0.8 to 3, it's clearly shooting off the charts. There's no debate. I mean, we can sit and debate, is it 3 months, is it 2 months, is it 4 months? We're not debating, is it short or long? That guy clearly has a short doubling time. He's at high risk. So in the men where these calculations, subtle thing, make a difference, probably in the men in longer doubling times where we're not anxious, or at least I'm not anxious to start doing anything anyway.
Howard?
No, I think that's a good point. The patients with the rapid doubling times, whether it's two or three, are declaring themselves pretty clearly.
Right.
Where you get the noise in the system is the low values that are not moving up rapidly. But all of these really represent eligibility criteria for trials. And you just decide where you want to put the cutoff in terms of rapidity of doubling time. Time to recurrence, perfectly acceptable, and hopefully it'll balance out in a randomization.
Jerry?
Well, two things. Number one, I was interesting how you presented that increasing information. You got 81% predicting the deaths if you simply did the doubling time.
Right.
You only got 3% better predictability by adding the others. Is that true in reverse? In other words, if you start with the time to recurrence, you get 3% prediction, and then it goes up to 84% by adding the doubling time? Is that
no.
a fair thing? And I have a
no.
second question.
No, it's not. A great question. Basically, I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but when we looked at just time to recurrence and asked the same question, how accurate is that? The number was around 70%. High
60%. So it's still
60%.
Pretty good,
not as good. It's pretty good. It's not as good as the doubling time.
Do you then jump to the 84% by adding in the doubling time?
You get pretty close to the 84 with adding doubling time, and then adding Gleason will get you, at the end of the day, the three variables combined is 84%.
All right, now you're